years. Oh boy, I'm lost. Can you help me find a place?
Seven.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Now, we were talking about how the expansion of Vaikuntha, that is Dhruvaloka, is purely spiritual. Yes, bro. Okay, go ahead.
In Bhagavad Gita 18.71, we had this segment for the Tattva Sandhan Padri. I came across some paragraph where Prabhupada says, should I read that? Two sentences. The word Punya Karmana is very significant here. This refers to the performance of great sacrifices like the Ashwamedha Yajna mentioned in the Vedic literatures. Those who are righteous in performing devotional service but who are not pure can attain the planetary system of the pole star or Dhruvaloka, where Dhruva Maharaj is presiding. He is a great devotee of the Lord and he has a special planet which is called pole star.
I don't know what to say. They're pious, but what?
Righteous.
I'm sorry. But what?
First of all, righteous.
Yeah. Well, it may be something like how devotees who are almost perfect, almost, just a little bit of purification required, they can join Krishna's pastimes when he comes to the material world. And then, and it's really just, you know, some subtle traces of attachment that have to be removed by associating with Krishna when he comes here. After that, they go back to Krishna's original abode. They attain Swarup Siddhi, having taken birth in Goloka, after being with Krishna here. It may be like that. That the lack of purity is just a very subtle trace of it. And therefore, they go to Vaikuntha inside the material world, and then they go to the original Vaikuntha after that. Okay. Atha Srimaha Vaikuntasya Tadvishatvam Tu Sutaram Eva. So certainly, Sri Mahavaikuntha, Mahavaikuntha, that's designating the original Vaikuntha, the big one, must have these qualities. What are the qualities again? Even though it's located within the material creation, it's free from its material qualities. Okay. So also, certainly then, the original big Vaikuntha must be free from all material qualities. Yata nana shruti patotapanena padmoltarakonde pi prakrityantargata vibhuti varnananantaram tadvishatvam abhivyanjitam shri shivena. In the Uttarakhanda of the Padma Purana, Sri Shiva indicates that it is like this, that Vaikuntha is like this. Let me change it to Vaikuntha to make it a little clearer. Sri Shiva indicates that Vaikuntha is like this with allusions to various Shrutis. That means he doesn't exactly quote the Shrutis, but he says a few words that echo them. After he describes the opulences found in material nature. Okay, so he's talked about the opulences of material nature, now he changes the topic. This is in the Padma Purana. And Lord Shiva says, several verses, Eva prakrita rupaya vibhute rupam uttamam tripad vibhuti rupam tu shrinu buddharanandini. Such is the exceptional appearance of the opulences of material creation. Now hear, O daughter of the mountain, about the three-quarters opulence, how the three-quarters opulence appears, the spiritual world. This is Lord Shiva talking to his wife Parvati in the Padma Purana. Pradana padama vyom nor antare viraja nadi vedamna sveda janita toyai prasravita shubha. In between primeval nature and the spiritual sky is the Viraja River. In other words, primeval nature, pradana, the thing, what you find at the very outskirts of the material world. And then there is and the spiritual sky, there's something in between, called the Viraja River. That auspicious river flows with water, born from the perspiration of the Vedic supplements. Yes, that's what it says. Vedambas, yeah. This is from the sweat of the Vedambas. Vedambas sweda janita. Okay. Not Vedas, but Vedambas. Yeah, I don't think the books are sweating. Usually presiding deities of Shastras are the rishis who are in charge of those Shastras. Okay? But the original Vedas are there in person in Vaikuntha at the court of Narayan. And so would be all the Vedic supplements in person. Yeah, so it's both ways. There actually are original personal forms of these Shastras because they are originally there in Vaikuntha. And everything in Vaikuntha is personal, is a person. Okay, so we have this Viraja River in between. Tasya pare paravyoma tripad bhutam sanataram amritam shashvatam nityam anantam paramam param. On its opposite shore, the other side of the Viraja River, is the spiritual sky, the perpetual three-quarters opulence, which is immortal, amritam, unchanging, shashvatam, eternal, nityam, and unlimited, anantam, the supreme abode. It's paramam padam, right? Paramam padam, om dad vishnu paramam padam. It is, next verse. Hiranmayam moksha padam. No, I skipped two verses. Shuddha satvamayam divyam aksharam brahmanam padam aneka koti suryagni tulyavarchasam avyayam. It is wonderful, composed of pure goodness. Shuddha satvamayam, the never-decaying abode of the Absolute Truth. It is inexhaustible, with effulgence, equal to the fire of millions of suns. This is the spiritual sky. Sarva Vedamayam Shubram Sarva Pralaya Varjitam Asankhyam Ajaram Nityam Jagrat Swapnadi Varjitam. It contains all the Vedas and is completely pure, never subject to any kind of annihilation. It cannot be measured. It never ages, and it is eternal and untouched by the material phases of consciousness, which are wakefulness, sleep, and deep sleep. Hiranmayam, the material world, the sun is on one side, it's dark on the other side of the world. There's somebody sleeping somewhere all the time. These three phases of consciousness are changing, and everybody's every day going in and out of these different phases of consciousness all over the material world. But in the spiritual world, there is no such change. Everyone is fully conscious all the time. Hiranmayam mokshapadam Ramananda sukhavaham samanadikya rahitam adyanta rahitam shubham. It is the golden abode of liberation, Hiranmayam, mokshapadam, bestowing the happiness of spiritual bliss. Nothing else is equal to it or greater. It has no beginning or end. It is all pure. Tejasatyat bhutam ramyam nityam anandasagaram evamadi gunopetam tad vishno paramam param. Its brilliant light renders it most amazing and attractive. It is the eternal ocean of bliss. Endowed with these and other qualities, it is the supreme abode of Vishnu. Okay. Now we'll read a commentary. Lord Shiva, instructing his wife, the daughter of the Himalaya Mountains, describes all of God's opulence as wonderful, even his material representations. The Vibhutis, Lord Krishna enumerates, in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So Lord Shiva gives a similar description of the material opulences of Krishna to his wife. And after that, he talks about the spiritual opulences. Much more wonderful are the spiritual opulences seen in Mahavaikuntha, the original home of the Supreme Lord, beyond the river Viraja, to distinguish it from Dhruvaloka. Dhruvaloka is Vaikuntha, but it's Vaikuntha on this side of the Viraja. The big Vaikuntha on the other side is what we're talking about. The Viraja, which is the outer boundary of the material creation. The material universes are only a finite part of the Supreme's expanded potencies, represented by the measurement of one quarter. The other three quarters of existence, the unbounded part, is Mahavaikuntha. Two similar terms indicating eternality are used by Lord Shiva, Shashvata and Nitya. What's the difference? Both words also occur in Lord Krishna's characterization of the finite souls in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verse 20. Najayate Vyate Va Kadachit Ajo Nityam Shashvato. The soul is Nitya, it is Shashvata. I'm sorry. And also, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti comments on that verse of the Gita that Shashvata means the same in all time, unchanged. All the time the same. What is Shashvata can be inferred to be also Nitya, eternal, because what is unchanged by definition cannot be diminished or eliminated in past, present, or future. If something never changes, then it can't become less, it can't decay, it can't be destroyed. If it's never changed. But something that never changes, literally never changes, not just for some time, but forever never changes, it has to be eternal. So it's a different idea, but logically, whatever is Shashvata is also Nitya, is also eternal. So you could have something eternal that changes. You know, it just goes through periodic changes. It goes around in a circle, comes back to the same point, but it's always changing. That's possible. But logic is not possible that something can be unchanging and not be eternal. The substance of the Vaikuntha atmosphere is pure goodness, different from the adulterated sattva of the material world. Because material goodness is always mixed with passion and ignorance, wakeful consciousness in our world inevitably degrades with time into dream and deep sleep. Everybody goes to sleep. Even demigods sleep sometimes. I think. Maybe they don't, I don't know. They're called anibishas sometimes. Their eyes don't blink. So maybe they don't go to sleep. Anyway, in Vaikuntha, nobody goes to sleep. Nobody has to go to sleep. They can play at going to sleep, but they're still conscious. Life in Vaikuntha is constantly awake, basking in the unlimited expansions of brilliant spiritual effulgence. Anyway, anybody who indulges in sense gratification is dreaming even while he is awake. His consciousness is clouded by that delusion of sense gratification. So the demigods, they indulge in sense gratification. And they may not, even if they don't physically go to sleep, their consciousness is covered by that delusion of enjoyment. Okay. There's more to that passage from... It's not done yet. There's more to this passage from the Padma Purana spoken by Lord Shiva. He already said it's Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam, but he has more to say. Nantad Bhasayate Suryo Nashashampo Napavakaha Yadgatva Nanivartante Tadama Paramam Harehe. He's not going to say Tadama Paramam Padam. This is Lord Shiva speaking. Tad Vishno Paramam Dhamma Shashvatam Nityam Achyutam Nahi Varnayatum Shaktiyam Kalpakoti Shatayar Api. The sun does not illuminate it, that spiritual sky, nor the moon, nor fire. Those who go there never return. That is the supreme abode of Hari. That is the supreme abode of Vishnu. Unchanging, eternal, and infallible. They cannot be described fully even in billions of kalpas. Hare padam varnayatum nashakyam maya chatatra chamunidravaryai yasmin pade achyuta ishvaro yat songa veda yadivana veda. Neither I, nor the Creator, that's Brahma, nor all the best of great sages can describe the abode of Hari. In that abode, anyway, he goes on to describe, but nobody can describe adequately. In that abode lives the infallible Lord, who himself knows this, or maybe not, my dear. He's saying even Vishnu himself maybe doesn't know all the glories of Vaikuntha. Anyway, Shiva says he doesn't know whether Lord Vishnu knows. Yadaksharam Veda Guhyam Yasmin Deva Adivishve Nishedu Yastam Naveda Kimvicha Karishyati Yautad Vidusta Ime Samasate. It is the infallible truth, the mystery of the Vedas, in whom all the demigods reside since the beginning of creation. What's this whom? I guess the demigods reside in the Vedas. If someone does not know it, the spiritual sky, what can he do with the mantras of the Rig Veda? And if he does know it, then he already possesses all of those mantras. So he doesn't have to study them. If you have Vaikuntha, you don't need to study the Vedas, you already have them. And if you don't know anything about Vaikuntha, then what's the use of learning all the Vedas? Commentary. Except for its last word, the verse Natad Bhasyate Suryaha occurring here is identical with text 15.6 of the Bhagavad Gita. Several Upanishads also include similar verses. The same verse in various forms, with slight differences, occurs in a number of different Upanishads. Natad Bhasyate Suryaha. There is no artificial illumination in Vaikuntha. Yet still, no one who goes there ever wants to return to the false light of the material world. No one can completely describe the glories of Vaikuntha, not Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, or the best of sages. Even Lord Vishnu, submitting himself to the care of his bewildering Yogamaya, might not know fully the greatness of his own abode. Because he wants Yogamaya when he's in a, especially when he's in Goloka, he doesn't want to think about being the Lord of Vaikuntha. So he has Yogamaya make him forget. Okay. There's more. This passage is not finished yet. Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashyanti Suryaha. That's from the Rig Veda. Yeah. Aksharam Shashvatam Nityam Diviva Chakshur Atatam. That supreme abode of Vishnu the sages always watch. It is incorruptible, unchanging, and eternal, spread out like an eye upon the sky. Apraveshtam Ashakyam Tad Brahma Rudradi Daivatai. Oh, there must be Taich. I have Daivata, a Manian letter. Gyanena Shastra Margena Vikshyate Yogi Pungavai. I, Brahma. I skipped a second. Brahma, Rudra, and the other demigods cannot enter it. The supreme abode of Vishnu. The most competent of yogis only look toward it with their knowledge and observance of scriptural injunctions. That's how they try to conceive of, understand Vaikuntha, by what they know from studying the Vedas, or what they realize in their yogic meditation, and also by obeying the austere vows and penances that are recommended in the Vedas, they are able to try to focus their attention on Vaikuntha. But all they're just looking toward it. They don't actually achieve it. And then I, Brahma, and the demigods and great sages do not actually know it. I didn't read Sanskrit. Aham Brahma cha devascha na jananti maharshayaha sarvopanishadam artam drishtva vakshyami suvate. I, Brahma, and the demigods and great sages do not actually know it. I can only speak about it, faithful woman, by having studied the message of all the Upanishads. But within that supreme abode of Vishnu, and all auspicious, auspicious festival goes on, and all auspicious festival goes on, where the broad horned cows And other residents live as they please. So there are towns in Vaikuntha that they have big horns. That supreme abode of Lord Shanghi, the Krishna who has the Shangra sword, bow, his bow. whose glories are always sung, is ever present in this world, and there the supreme abode shines forth with its praiseworthy all auspicious cows. So this is starting to sound like Goloka. Okay. Here's a commentary. The Vishnu Purana interpreted Tad Vishnu Puram as Dhruvaloka, a Vaikuntha planet inside the material egg. This passage of Padma Purana, I got it wrong, the Padma Purana, however, re-identifies it as Mahavaikuntha, the original abode of the Supreme Lord. They're both trying to explain Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam from the Rig Veda. Both the explanations are authorized, they're both valid, looking from different viewpoints. You can see that it's describing Vaikuntha inside the material world, or Vaikuntha beyond it. Even the best of yogis can only observe it from a distance, with little hope of entering. All the Upanishads are seen to point to it as the supreme destination, at least when we gather their overall purport, samanvaya, with the help of Bhadarayana Vyasa's Vedanta Sutras. The Upanishads may seem to be describing the absolute truth in different, contrary ways, giving it different names. It's called Akasha, it's called Jalam, it's called Bhumi. Different names are given. Jyotir, or different names are given to the absolute Brahman. And it seems to be contrary theories. But Vyasadeva has written the Vedanta Sutra specifically to show that there's no contradiction in the Upanishads, that there is a unified message, and that process of correlating, showing the consistency of all the statements of all the Upanishads about the Absolute Truth, that is called Samanvaya. And that is the topic, especially of the first chapter of the Vedanta Sutra. And in the special light of those few scriptures which teach the secrets of pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord, the highest Vaikuntha is revealed as the festive world of the cows, Goloka, eternally replicated on the face of the earth as Mathura Gokula. Okay, more. So Lord Shiva is not done yet. Adityavarnam, adityavarnam tamasat parasta jyotiruttamam atato brahmano loka shudapsahi sanatanaha. It is the supreme light beyond the glow of the sun. Therefore it is the pure world of Brahman, and its existence is perpetual. Samanya viyute ture antesmin shashvate pade tastatur jagadur kesmin yuvanau shri sanatanau. Within this distant, perpetual abode are present two ever alert jagaruka, youthful persons, always in one another's company, and similar in appearance. Who is that? Let's see. Yatat swasara yuvati bhulile vishnuvallabe atra purve yecha sadhya vishve deva sanatana. The young woman, one of them is the goddess, here's the two ever alert youthful persons that are always in each other's company and are similar in appearance. Who are they? One of them is the goddess of fortune, and the other is the eternal Lord. Lakshmi and Narayan. Yatak Swasadao Yuvati. I read that already. The young woman, Lakshmi, has two sisters, Bhu and Leela, both dear to Lord Vishnu. Also present here are the ancient Sadhyas and the eternal Vishvadevas. Vaikuntha demigods. Te hanakam mahimana sachanta shubadarshana tatpadam yanino vipra jagrivam saksamindate. Also, all these glorious beings, lovely to behold, adorn the supreme sky. Ever vigilant philosophers and learned Brahmins reveal that abode. This is all actually words borrowed from the Purusha Sukta. Right? Tad Vishnu Pada. No, it's not Purusha Sukta. It's the prayer with the Om Tad Vishnu Padam Om Padam. Yeah. It's 1-2-20. Or 1-2 is the number of the Sukta of the prayer. Tad Vishnu Padam Om Dhamma. Moksha idyami diyate tasmin banda vinir mukta prapyante swasukam padam. That is the supreme abode of Vishnu, known by the name liberation. There one finds all the residents free from material bondage. It is the abode of self-satisfaction. Commentary. Lord Vishnu, Narayan, and his consort Lakshmi are the eternal mother and father of all beings, but they appear ever youthful. Their devotees in Vaikuntha are called Dasadhyas and Vishvadevas, those who have achieved elevation to this realm and those who have always been there. That's the difference. Dasadhyas are the ones who have gone there, who are sadhana-siddhas, who have become perfect and achieved Vaikuntha. But the Vishvadevas, it makes sense, they're the ones who are always there. Vishva, always there. The word Vaikuntha is also figuratively called moksha. It's called moksha. Actually, moksha is found there, but it's called moksha figuratively. It's called liberation. And swasukha, the soul's innermost joy. Figurative, because these are qualities that you find in Vaikuntha. But figuratively, Vaikuntha itself is called by the name of those qualities. Okay, any questions? Yes?
In the Bhagavad Purana, we find a passage whereby Lord Shiva has a conversation with his wife, and he describes how Nava Bhittan manifested. And he does mention that there was a gopi by the name of Virat who turned into a deva. So I was wondering if the Virat that you talked about is the same as that Virat, the gopi?
Probably. Okay, but that's not generally known. That's confidential information that's revealed in that section. Anything else? This one.
You said that demigods, they will sleep. So the sun, they
will sleep. I said I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. Why would that be unlogical?
I was thinking whether there is sun never sets there. The sun never sets in upper planetary system, kind of.
Yeah.
Because they never sleep, because, like,
well, I'm not sure they don't sleep. I mean, they sleep. Everybody goes to sleep during Brahma's night, but I mean, during their own nights. I guess they do. I'm not sure about that. Yeah. Yes?
Yes? You can see that the fear of water does mean that if you have changes, you are giving to и его тоже нити. Поэтому теперь еще вот для нити, для Сахара, там для вас
ничего. But they're still called Shashvata. There's appearance of change where there really isn't any change. There's variety, but not actual change. We have to understand spiritual nature to grasp what the difference is supposed to be. Spiritual nature doesn't is not subject to the kind of changes that we find in the material world. They're mostly irreversible changes. You can't turn back the clock and become young after you become old. But spiritual world, you can go backwards and forwards. You know, time can go any direction you want. So it's different. It's not the same process of change. It's the appearance of change, but it's not like kind of undesirable and involuntary change that's found in the material world. And also, there is only one substance in the spiritual world, Vishuddha Sattva. Everything's, in that sense, the same. In the material world, you have three different modes, and they're competing. There's no such competition of the modes in the spiritual world. In that way, there's no change. In the material world, all this change is specially being pushed by those three modes. You may think that's oversimplification, but that's actually the process. The three modes are always competing. But you don't have that competition of the moods in the spiritual world. Yes?
Also about Lord Narayana playing chanting, is this the role of Lord Narayana for what is born? Chanting.
No, not horn, it's a bow that you shoot arrows with. It's because I guess that bow is made out of horn. Yeah, you make bows out of the horns of animals. It's a very tough substance. So some kinds of bows use, for their construction, use horn. I don't know which animal, but some animal's horn, goats or something, as the ingredient for making the bow. That may be why it's called sharpie, but it's not a horn, it's a bow. Weapon.
Okay.
It's not the name of Krishna's horn, it's the name of his bow.
What are the relationships between Lord Narayana and Kausa? Because you said that he's surrounded by
which is Kausa. I don't know. I mean, what we took from it is that it seems to be talking about Goloka at the end. according to Brihad Bhagavatamrita, cows are not so common in Vaikuntha. There's a replica of Vrindavan that was created by Vishvakarma for Krishna in Dwarka. Sort of a Dwarka theme park outside of Vaikuntha. I mean, Vrindavan theme park outside of Dwarka. It's not the real Vrindavan. It's an imitation Vrindavan. And Narayan goes out there to play with cows. Because there's no cows. I guess cows are not allowed in the city. Or to, you know, he doesn't have his cows in the city, Dwarka.
So we can take it.
So I don't think Vaikuntha is really full of cows with big horns. It must be talking about Goloka.
We can take it as a hint to
Goloka, because
Goloka is one of the parts of Vaikuntha.
So Goloka is what part?
It's like a highest Vaikuntha.
Yeah. So it's for, Lord Shiva. In his ecstasy, is focusing his attention at the end on Goloka. Yes, but he's doing it subtly because this is confidential information. He can't be too specific about it. Well, that's part of it. We don't have the equipment, the brains or the senses to directly perceive Vaikuntha. So we have to begin understanding it from our limited perspective by comparison to what we do know in the material world. Therefore, the first thing it said about it, and basically all that Krishna says in the Gita about Vaikuntha, is that there's no sun and moon or electricity there. And Krishna stops at that point in the Gita. He just says, going there, nobody comes back. So, I mean, that could be, some horrible country where there's no electricity. And when anybody goes there, they're not allowed out. Doesn't sound like a nice place. But that's all Krishna says about Vaikuntha in the Gita. So that's how we begin to understand it. We begin to understand the spiritual world by comparison to the material world. Because that's all we know about. That's all we can understand is the material world. We have to have our spiritual mind and senses open to be able to understand more than that. Okay. So we can move that around.
I have a question about the dreams or the different states of consciousness which are present in the material world, which are in the spiritual world. So we mean that because they seem to go to sleep, they continue somehow their devotional service even in dreams or some way.
Yeah, well, you're talking about spiritual world now?
In the spiritual world.
I don't know. I don't want to start guessing about it. I haven't read anything about it. About what they do at night when it's time to go to sleep, and by Kunta, I don't know. Yeah, they're sleeping, they're waking up, they're dreaming. And,
yeah. But what about the weekend?
So there's something, but I don't know. That, I don't. Yeah, well, we can do is take the authorized descriptions we have of this Ashtakali Kalila, which is maybe presented as what Krishna is doing in Gokula on the earth. But we can assume that what's going on in the spiritual world follows the same basic pattern. Maybe details are different. And if the description of Krishna's pastimes still, the Narayana's pastimes will be somewhat similar. If Krishna goes to sleep at night, maybe Narayana does too.
So we can presume that they continue to their devotional service 24 hours.
Yes.
Somehow.
There's no interruption. Sleep doesn't stop your Krishna consciousness. It's not sleep in that sense. It doesn't. Your consciousness is not obscured by it. Yes, Robert.
You were mentioning Bhushakti and Leelashakti in Vaikuntha Dham.
Yes.
Who are their respective personalities in Goloka and on the earth?
I don't know about Goloka, somebody knows. There is description. That's very confidential information. It's there in some Shastras. And Bhu, probably is Bhumi Devi in the material world. Leela, I don't know. This is described, I think later on in this Bhagavad Sundarbha, there'll be some more identification of who these 16 Shaktis of Narayana are and their counterparts in the material world. That is discussed later on. I think it's inside this. Or was it earlier? Somewhere else in the Bhagavad Sundarbha, it's described in more detail. The identity in the material world of the expansions of the original 16 Shaktis of Narayana. Yes?
And then in Bhaktivedanta, there are some kings of this, like Shishen Mahaprabhu's wife, she was one of the station of Bhushaks, and some sort of things are there.
Yes, but I think there is. Jiva Goswami gives us some specific information. I just don't remember what other chain it's in, somewhere in this book.
In Sri Sampradaya, they say, Anda,
Goda
is the incarnation of
Nila
Devi.
Anda, one of the
Alvars. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Nila.
Yes. And they have understanding of these Shaktis. Very often you see some of them there on the altars with the deities are arrived in Sri Sampradaya. Yeah. So they understand. And they get this information from Puranas and from Pancharatras. Some Pancharatras give us details about these things. And Jiva Goswami quotes some of it. I think it's coming up. Okay. Okay, now we can finish up this passage. There's three more verses spoken by Lord Shiva. Yam prapya nanivartante tasman moksha udaritaha moksha param param lingam amritam vishnu mandiram. It is called liberation because having achieved it, one never returns. Liberation is embodied as the supreme abode, the immortal residence of Lord Vishnu. Aksharam paramam dhamma vaikuntam shashvatam param nityam cha parama vyoma sarvot krishnam sanatanam. It is the incorruptible, supreme abode, the supreme perpetual Vaikuntha, the eternal, primeval, spiritual sky, superior to everything else. Paryaya vachikanasya asya param damno chutasya hi tasya tripavibhutes tu rupam vakshyami vishtarat ityari. These are synonyms describing the supreme abode of the infallible Lord. All these adjectives and nouns that he's used are synonyms describing the supreme abode of the infallible Lord. They can all be taken as names of Vaikuntha, all these terms. Now I will tell you in detail about the appearance of his three quarters opulence. So Lord Shiva is not done, but our quotation is done. He goes on in the Padma Purana. You can look in the Padma Purana and see what else he says in detail about these opulences. Then this narration continues further. Etad ritika shrutayo vaidikeshu prayak prasiddha iti no dahriyante. The shrutis that this passage alludes to are well known among those who study the Vedas, and so they are not cited here. Jiva Goswami doesn't tell us what words are referring to what shrutis, Upanishads. Commentary. Mandira means home. Vishnu Mandira is his house. Like other householders, God has the places he goes to serve others, and also the home he returns to after work, his office and his home. Several synonymous epithets of this Vaikuntha are mentioned by Lord Shiva. That's his home, Vaikuntha.
Epithets.
Yes, ma'am?
What is the meaning of epithets?
Epithet. Oh, it's just a descriptive title of somebody. Harishchandra, the greatest of all kings. So his name is Harishchandra. Greatest of all kings is like a description of him. It's not his name. That's what an epithet is. Words you describe, especially praise somebody by. Not his name, but a description of him. Okay. Any questions now, before we stop? Yes?
How to understand that there is home of Lord Narayana and then he goes somewhere outside? Does it mean that when he goes outside, he's not present at home? Or what is he like it is said, Vrindavan, 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 Vrindavan?
Well, Vaikuntha is both. You know, Lord, the Lord Narayan is giving his audience in public, in his court, on his throne, in Vaikuntha. But Vaikuntha is also his home. It's like some people, they can't afford to have a separate office and house. They work in their house. Or maybe that's their convenience. Some people it's convenient to work at home. Or we have a room. Yeah, brahmacharis are sharing rooms. We don't have separate rooms to study in and to sleep in. You're living in the same room where you work. So Vaikuntha's like that. Lord Narayan is working there. He's on public display there. And he's also, that's his home. It's both. Yeah, some ray beams him down. That's a naive understanding.
Yeah.
Well, because an avatar is a descent into the material world. That's the proper meaning of the word avatar.
But at the same time, he's still present in the spiritual world.
Yeah. We don't hear that you know, he's absent, you know, from Vaikuntha every time he does an avatar. They maybe talk about that, but that's just poetry. He doesn't actually become vacant, absent from Vaikuntha. Okay.
Well, you say a lot. I'd like to complete the group things together. One, we say in the general initial, the Bhagavad Gita course, and that we give in that, we say that Krishna is always Vrindavan, and Vaikuntha is like his office.
One, yes.
Second, when you say that Vaikuntha is home and office, what work he does in Vaikuntha? Third part of the question is, when Garbhodaya Krishna Vishnu and Shirodaya Krishna Vishnu, when any annihilation takes place, after their work is over, are they going back to Vaikuntha to their home?
No, they see their expansions of their three Vishnus are expanding from one another. So they'll just merge back into Mahavishnu. Because those separate Vishnu forms, as the three Purushas, are only manifest in the material world. For the material creation. So when there's no material creation, they just merge back into Lord Vasudeva.
Who is there?
Vaikuntha. They merge back into Mahasamkarsana in Vaikuntha. Mahavishnu is an expansion of the third Samkarsana in Vaikuntha.
So, what is work in Vaikuntha? Work
is... Well, anyway, we can talk about Vaikuntha in a general sense, which includes Goloka.
Yeah.
And most people in Vaikuntha don't know about Goloka anyway, even the people who live there. By work, I just mean that he's reciprocating with his devotees. By just like a king, what the king does his work when he's in the court, sitting on the throne. That's his work, to be the king and make judgments and meet people, yeah, and maybe sign some papers. That's the king's business. So the Krishna Narayan also comes to his office, sits down on the throne, lets people worship him and listens to them and talks to them. That's his work.
That means with his queen.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
But in this case, you know, the palace, like a king's palace, is his home. It's the king's house.
Okay.
Yeah. The presidential palace where the king lives. But he also has his office there.
Okay.
You know, they don't rent him an office across the street. The President of the United States has his office in the same building where he lives. Yeah. The Vice President has his office across the street. Okay, so we'll stop here. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam. Should be the regular time, yeah.